So he couldn't say that on the radio in Canada. We were so, but you realize, I mean, literally crimes, folks, misdemeanors, things that'll put you in jail because you don't agree with maybe the passions of a larger faction. Ms. McGregor said it's a no-win situation. Oh, by the way, in a couple of weeks, we're going to have somebody talking about the age of the earth. And that's an apologetic. So we're going to do it as long as we can. That's why we're on the radio speaking this faith and freedom stuff as long as we can. We have an opportunity to do it. Maybe our last opportunity. Let's go ahead and milk it for what it's worth. Mrs. McGregor said, we didn't want to see our charity money eaten up by lawyers. It was heart-wrenching. We wrote on February 7th, voluntarily revoked our licenses. We said this auditor requires us to compromise our Christian faith, which we cannot do. So they're applying for a nation's tax-exempt status offered missions organizations. I'd actually like them to find in 501c3 where they actually offer tax-exempt status to missions organizations. You actually have to try to finagle your way into following under the exempt status. And if they continue to read, they'll find out. I just did this today. I was looking it up in response to this article. And I found out that they may be an organization who, if they really are honest about their operations, may not be eligible for exempt status because they are completely accepted from the rule. But that is deeper in the advanced studies of faith and freedom. We'll probably have to maybe go into that another time. And that should stir some interesting thoughts. She said that you're not allowed in Canada to speak persuasively about your own faith. The effort cost considerable funds. They were saving up to build a studio. They said if we were just preaching our own gospel and weren't criticizing anybody, we could continue. If you're going to defend the gospel, you've got to criticize sometimes. Jesus did that. In fact, I think he referred to some people as broods of vipers and things like that. So that's difficult speech. And I'm not necessarily going to go into the things that they were countering in there. They've got a whole list of things that they have concerns about. And they're like certain kinds of music they were interested in. And they were different kinds of practices of churches, certain churches that don't actually go to the Word of God. They just kind of make people feel good and get a crowd in. So they were concerned about that. They had some concerns about Mormons' teachings that they were teaching about. They talked about a Neil Donald Walsh, who wrote the bestseller Conversations with God. They quoted him saying, Hitler went to heaven. So the Bible states that the only way to heaven is by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone. That is what this lady's beliefs were, and those are Christian beliefs. And so she was being challenged as being a lawbreaker. So that's interesting. They have pointed out that proposals are being made in Canada to raise taxes and fees on churches dramatically. That means that implies they're already putting fees in churches on taxes. Well, they just mentioned that there's certain people groups that are growing in America that get hurt feelings when you begin to quote the Bible. And so those things are hate crimes in Canada. They're hate crimes in Canada. And just because we're on talk radio, and it's supposed to be provocative. You know, it's got to have a little entertainment value. And I don't have a Michael Savage kind of a New York accent or anything like that. Those things usually do very well for talk radio. I don't have that. All right. I was raised in Southern California and then moved to Virginia. And I married a woman from Mississippi. So my accent is just really a mix, a crazy hodgepodge. I'm going to quote some things that some people might consider. In a few years, I would think that some people today consider this hate speech. If I was walking down the sidewalk while a parade was going on, a political parade was going on with certain activist groups, and I was walking down a sidewalk with some of these statements on a sign wrapped around my shoulders, you know, just kind of one of those kind of town crier kind of signs that you can build upon your body, I might even today be charged with hate crimes. So what happened in Pennsylvania, somebody was... Well, this crowd that was protesting and having a parade saw somebody who had a sign that was, the opinions on the sign were contrary to the parade marchers. And so the parade marchers surrounded them and then said that their sign caused a disruption in the peace. What would happen? I would probably, if I was in Richmond during a parade that was contrary to, or next to a parade that was contrary to what my little sign said, I might disturb the peace because I'd have a lot of angry people surrounding me. This is Matthew chapter... What is that? Chapter 10, verse 32. And this says, this is Jesus talking. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. if there are any people that have been under the teachings of the Quran in our listening audience, you would know, or you'd be able to find out that Muhammad taught that that would be heresy. And that would cause, in fact, some Muslims would believe anybody that would say that, even though it's right out of the Bible, should be put to death. So they'd be offended by that. It goes on to say, but whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Jesus is saying that people who disavow him will be denied in heaven. In Canada, what I just said would be a crime. That's hate speech. That's a hate crime. I say it lovingly. In America, and I will tell you, as somebody who is a Christian, I can take a joke, and you can tell me that my thought process, my belief system, my practice is in error. You can call me a heretic. And I can, you know what? I appreciate the opportunity to dialogue with people over that. As long as they don't get all upset and get crazy if I respond to them in a rational statement. I'm going to quote somebody here. He said, in free countries, that is in free countries, every man is entitled to express his opinions and every other man is entitled not to listen. Every man is entitled to express his opinions and every other man is entitled not to listen. That's G. Norman Colley. Somebody do the research on that. We tried to do it and we couldn't find it. But I'm David Allen Carmichael. This is Faith and Freedom. And I'm going to say some scary things. I'd written down some references of some scary statements that are a crime in Canada. And while it is still daytime, still daylight, while we still have an opportunity of liberty and free speech and strict scrutiny requirements of that First Amendment right. We used to have strict scrutiny requirements, freedoms of religion, which are in the First Amendment. Somehow that went away. And I actually know the Supreme Court case that it happened. And it's being reversed by the Religious Freedom Restoration Act slowly and very reluctantly. Most government officials and courts are still having trouble giving strict scrutiny to religious liberty issues. In other words, making sure that we have freedom of religion. But still, speech is still elevated up there with those strict scrutiny standards. And if you want to know what that is, of course, give us a call. I'd love to talk to you about that. But I'm going to quote some things here while we can, while there's still a chance. John chapter 3. This is Gospel of John chapter 3. Oh, by the way, John was a criminal. He was put in jail because of his speech. He was put, and he was actually exiled to the prison island of Patmos. Here's what he said about Jesus. This is John chapter 3, verses 35. And by the way, there was this Navy guy, he was in the news, and what really brought some controversy over the last several years was this chaplain, every time they did the nighttime prayers on the ship, would say at the end of the prayer, in Jesus' name, amen. And his commanding officer told him, don't pray in Jesus' name. And so he said, well, why don't we get the Muslim guy to pray in Allah's name and the rabbis, you know, to pray their way. And I'll take a certain night and I'll do it and I'll just pray in Jesus' name. He said, no, just find something else to say. Because he was praying in Jesus' name and he kept praying in Jesus' name, he started to get into trouble. And in one instance, he was invited to a funeral service of a sailor who had come to know Christ while the chaplain was there stationed at the same place. And somehow this young man had died and his family asked the chaplain to do a special family service. And it happened to be on base at the base chapel, but the commanding officer of the ship showed up. And this is the hate speech that Chaplain Klingenschmidt had read. He said, and as Jesus said, the Father loves the Son, and he's talking about himself, and has given all... Okay, here we go. This is actually John the Baptist talking. He said, the Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. Say it one more time. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. Now, this was the scary hate speech that was actually offended the commanding officer of Mr. Klingenschmidt. And he who does not believe in the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. So he said, he who does not believe in the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. So people were offended by that because it implies and states that those who do not believe in the Son shall not see life. The wrath of God is abiding on people that reject Jesus, essentially what this is teaching. In Canada, that would be hate speech. It's now, at least for this one Navy chaplain, it became a method of, or a form of hate speech, even in the chaplain's situation. So that's a scary thing. I'll probably go to something else here. I think we got a call. We're going to be taking a call here in a second while I'm flipping around. And we're going to call from Scott.
Hey, David. I love the show. Enjoy just a really unique show, and really enjoy how you integrate the Bible into all these different current issues that we face in our society. I think today's show is really interesting, and it makes me think of Romans chapter 1, exchanging the truth of God for a lie. And I think a lot of maybe the reason why people are trying to use the government to silence Christianity is because of that, because they're afraid of the truth. And to me, it seems like going against the truth like that, you know, all these people are doing in Canada and in other places is really an act of love towards others. If they have the truth and were to keep it inside, that would be true hatred towards their fellow man. And by the fact that they're not willing to share the truth that they have with others. And I don't know, it's frustrating today because people don't use, you know, logic. You know, there's this myth that we can be neutral about everything, but everybody has their views, and to silence them just doesn't make sense to me. But I enjoy your show, and just wanted to call in and encourage you.
Well,
keep up the good work.
Well, I'm going to scare you. I mean, I don't want to scare away callers by asking them tough questions. What industry do you work in?
I don't work for the Navy. I'm a government contractor.
But you're in an environment, obviously, by what you said, you're a Christian. And you're in you're in an environment where you have possibly the statistical thing to look at is probably most of the people in your office would probably not share your Christian views, statistically, generally speaking. It may be different in your situation.
I'd agree with that.
Okay, so what kind of things do you face in your situation where people take offense and actually, especially since you're a contractor for the government, not working for the government, but I'm sure you've heard the flagrant, hey, separation of church and state. Have you heard that in your workplace?
Yeah, actually, I haven't heard that too much, maybe because I haven't been bold enough among people. But we actually, people do share their ideas, mostly more on the political level, but we have gotten into some religious discussion before, but you know, more of a two-on-two kind of discussion, and not something at a business-wide or command-wide function. I think that might be get people more in trouble if it were to take place at that level.
Well, that's where I was kind of going. Is there anything that you know in your workplace is taboo, and specifically talking about Christian issues? But is there something, you know, are you experiencing that? There's certain things you just don't talk about.
I don't feel any fear at my workplace, just because most of the people I work with are fairly open with their beliefs and ideas. I think they're very open about their political ideas, and I don't see why the things that they say that can be construed as being quote unquote offensive to me, then I feel like that gives me kind of the freedom to speak up and state what my beliefs are.
Well, that's fabulous. Scott, I appreciate your call because it's right on track, and that's what I wanted to know. What are people thinking? What are they dealing with? Appreciate your call. Look forward to hearing from you again. And that was Scott in his car. Unfortunately, Scott stayed safe while he was talking, I guess, on a cell phone.